Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about Motown Maurice right down here in the state of Florida.
And we've got Motown Maurice of the Motown Maurice Show.
I'm going to introduce you to Motown Maurice.
We have special guest, Motown Maurice.
Motown Maurice.
Speaking of crazy, we have Motown Maurice,
a man who is trying to put Tampa on the map for late night television.
He is not the next Arsenio Hall. He is the first Motown Maurice.
For those of you who haven't had a chance to experience Motown Maurice,
you have to understand he is very persistent.
And now he has transitioned
from Tampa to Los Angeles, California.
He's now in Los Angeles.
Continuing his pursuit of the quest of a late night talk show host.
Keep an eye on Motown.
Absolutely.
Keep an eye on that gentleman. One day this man is going to be the new face of late night.
Motown, we love you.
Motown Maurice, are you on the line?
And now, your host, Motown Maurice.
Stop it. You shouldn't do that. Sit down. Please have a seat. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let's get ready to rumble! For years, there have been tensions between Africans and African Americans. But today, on Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle, we are going to battle it out! All right. We might build some bridges of understanding and hope for reconciliation and all that good stuff. But I want to focus on the battle. I want to focus on the fight. We got the rumble in the jungle, the thriller in Manila, the showdown, throwdown right here on Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle. What's in the working right now is a full feature documentary, Africans versus African Americans, Healing the Silent Sibling Rivalry. And I'm really excited because I got the co-producer, Perez Owino, and director, might I say that, she's on the line. In addition to that, she's got her co-producer, Tanae Carter, my good friend, the storyteller and co-producer of this project. This project is intense. It's got tension. It's got history. It's got all of the above. Give it up for the co-producers, and please give it up for the documentary right now. Perez, Tanae, are you on the line?
Yes, we're here.
Hey, hello. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Hey,
how are y'all
doing
today?
We're doing
well.
Oh,
we are fabulous. Yeah. Fabulous, Motown. Thank you so much for having us on.
Absolutely.
It's an honor. Thank you. So let's get right to it. Who's winning the fight so far? Who's throwing the blows? Who's throwing the uppercuts? I mean, I need to know. What's the status of the fight?
Let me tell you something right now, Motown. Ain't none of us are winning this right now.
Nobody
else is winning this fight, and it's not us.
Uh-oh.
No, not at all.
Yep.
Okay. So I see this documentary, Africans versus African Americans, and of course the subtitle is Healing the Silent Sibling Rivalry. Break this down for me. Where did this come from, and what are we trying to get out of this documentary?
Okay, let me just start here. You know, when I came to America, let me tell you something. I came to America, I had read every single thing about African-American history. I mean, I was hyped when I came here. I was like, you know, I'm going to go to America, and every African-American I meet, I'm going to give them a piece of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
The first African-American I met, I asked him, so, I thought he was African. I was like, oh, so what country are you from? He says, I'm from North Carolina. I'm not African. You people sold us.
Oh.
That was my first experience. I was like, oh, snap.
What?
Okay. Yep.
You people?
And I was like, you people sold us. Yep. That's where it began. And I realized at that point in time that my intention to give every African-American Africa was going to take a little bit longer than I thought.
Tanae, let me ask Tanae. Tanae, was that person you? Did you tell her that?
Oh, no. No, I would never tell anybody from the diaspora that.
Okay.
But I have run into African-Americans who have felt that way.
Mm.
And here we are years later. I meet with Perez Owino, and we talk, we conversate, we talk about this schism, particularly in our generation, well, what is this feeling, this bitterness? We share a similar DNA. But why can't we come together? Why can't we even be friends on some level? What's going on?
Mm-hmm. So Perez,
yes.
So you often try to share your African history with African Americans, and how does that happen? What happens in return?
What happens is, it's interesting because you get that one experience, and if you're not careful, then you can let that one experience tarnish who you are, because then you begin to realize as you meet African Americans, just that they're as different as they are grains of sand, you know, on the beach. That one person might give you that reaction, and then you might meet another one who'd be like, oh my God, where are you from? Oh, I was just in Ghana. And then you have that experience, and then you begin to realize that the reason why this beef exists is mostly also because there's a lot of generalization, where you take one hurt, as Mr. Isaiah Washington would call it, we are people who are plagued with grudges and pettiness. You take
uh-huh.
this one feeling, this one person said this to me, so you blanket it to the whole group. You're like, oh, well, they just think this about me. Oh, well, they just think this about that. And then it prevents you from going forward to be like, no, I'm going to break through this wall. Come hell or high water, you know. But you just keep searching. So, and I meet someone like Tanae Carter, who is, Tanae, you are, she will tell you this about, what is it, your faith, Tanae?
My thing, well, how I came to it was, I was growing up in Miami, Florida. And growing up in Miami, Florida, there are many people who came from Haiti. I know part of my heritage is Bahamian. People came from Cuba. And I remember my friends, I do consider myself African-American. When there were people who came from Haiti and Africa, we weren't nice. Let's just be real about it. We were not nice. We had jokes. We laughed at those jokes. But I've always wondered, well, how does that person feel? Again, we were looking the same. And then when I came to Los Angeles, I met people who were second generation from the continent. Their parents may be from Nigeria. Their parents may be from Senegal. But they grew up here. And they would tell me how they were treated growing up here.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to explore that. I wanted to explore what was that journey and why did we African Americans treat them like that? And I'll
mm-hmm.
put myself in that category. Why? Why did we do that? And it just
yeah.
so happened that Perez had written her personal experience, her journey, because she was definitely exploring it in depth, and me coming with that wonderment, and we met up. We you know, synchronicity happened. And so we've been on this journey together to explore what happened and found many fascinating things.
Mm.
Yeah, and one of the things that we also have to be cognizant about is there's things to celebrate, but there are also things that, from an African perspective, that the Africans that I've grown up with, the Africans who are around me, are very curious about. And they will be very open about what they find very hurtful. Like, they will say things like, I don't understand why they don't know anything about Africa. That's one of the things that, you know, I hear, because we know we are sitting down, Tanae was there, we first interviewed a huge group of Africans, and
mm-hmm.
we kept asking them, what is this hurt that you have? And besides the fact of being called Kunta and Shaka and, you know, some other things that I can't even say over the air, one of the things that Africans found a little bit, you know, kind of almost disrespectful is, why am I coming to America trying to connect with my African brother in the United States, and he seems to have no interest in Africa, but yet the European one is constantly asking me about Africa. What is
wow.
going on here?
Wow, wow.
You know, that becomes an issue.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That happened to me, personally.
Wow.
Yeah.
So let's,
yeah.
if you don't mind, can you
yeah.
both, you know, from an African and African-American perspective, mention some of the present misconceptions that lingers in the minds of our people?
Well,
you
want to go first?
No, you go ahead. You go ahead, Tanae. Maybe you might steer me right. Go ahead.
Well, for African Americans, many of the perceptions that I've heard or experienced is Africans are arrogant. I hear that a lot. Africans from the continent are arrogant. They look down on us. They think they're better than us. They come here and they may do well and not include us. They don't consider us our brother. They don't consider us our sister. They cater to white people, to be honest. They cater to white people. They don't think about African Americans. And then it comes, who do they think they are? That's been a general sentiment that I've heard in the African American community.
And Perez, what are some of yours that you've heard?
Well, these are some of the things that I hear on my end. Besides the fact that they feel like there's really not a keen interest in Africa, there also seems to be some sense of shame about Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, y'all are just there killing each other. There's that kind of rhetoric. That so Africans feel like the African Americans may be ashamed of Africa. They feel like they have no interest on the continent. And this is just general stuff. This is not to be. There's also one other thing that this is very particular is the naming. Like sometimes when people name their kids and they say it's African or Swahili for this, they're Africans who do speak Swahili, and they'll see the name and they'll be like, that is not a Swahili name. And they wonder, why didn't they just ask? We could have given them a name that would have been Swahili, you know. And there's all this, I think it's just that lack of, they feel like there's this lack of interest. Now, I won't go into the stereotypes that have come through via media where they are violent and aggressive and all that stuff, you know. That all came via media. So you have sometimes when we come here, I remember this happened to me. I'm going to call out on myself. This happened to me because I came here and I didn't realize just how much it was in my system that the African-American male has a tendency towards violence until once I was in an elevator and I clutched my purse when an African-American walked in and I stopped myself. And I was like, oh, my God. Because you don't realize you keep watching these American TV shows, even in Africa, because that's what they send to us.
Mm-hmm.
That gets built up into your mind, into your consciousness. Your subconscious, I'm sorry. And then it just shows up suddenly, and you're like, oh, my God.
So let's bring it back home to the documentary. So all of these personal experiences that you're talking about right now, they're all part of this documentary. And if they are, what are you trying to do with it? Are you trying to start? You're trying to start something, obviously, and take me in that direction.
So we do have all these sentiments, and this is almost like the first act, where we talk, okay, these are the misconceptions we have about each other. And we start to trace this line. Where did this begin? Because, you know, there's all this talk of we are a people, like African Americans have been, in this country, you're told, like, people without a history. And people tend to believe that the African American history begins with slavery, which is not true. So we literally start with the history of us as a people, when we were on the continent, without all this meddling. And then we go into when the slavery began, and that's when the diverging happened. And then we start to trace the different paths that we walked with the slavery that was going on in the America's continent and the colonialism that was happening in Africa. And then we begin to realize that even though we're on separate continents, the way the world has reacted or responded to us has been similar. We've literally had similar experiences coming up. You know, that we may think we are different. We may think that we need this wedge. But the wedge is not of our creation. It's benefiting someone. It's not benefiting us. And that's where this documentary is going. That, okay, we were once together, we were separated, now we have to come back together. We were stronger when we were together.
So today,
you know what I mean?
Yes, I feel. Go ahead, Tanae, go ahead.
Oh, and even gives examples of times when we were together when, you know, people may not have even thought we were together. For example, there were many African Americans who helped Ethiopia, you know, fight Italy. There are even prior examples before that. There is a book called Dreams of Africa in Alabama that mentions when there were some continental Africans whose relatives were enslaved, and they literally went to the slave castle and was like, take me instead of that person. Or they found the ship that their relative was on and was able to trace it and go get their relative and bring them back to the continent. And others who were saying, well, you know, I'm one particular case in Brazil, when this brother is saying, no, I'm going back home, and he was somehow able to buy his way back, and he went back home. So there's always been this connection intermittently that many of us really don't know about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The missing history. Because also our history, it's only up until recent that our history is not being written by us. There's a lot of missing parts of our history that has not been put in here because it was beneficial to have this wedge. But we have to close it and show that, you know what, the slave ports are on the continent of Africa. Yes, there were people who participated in that, but yes, there were also people who did not. There were Africans who went to search for their family. That even as you go down through history, you go into the 50s, the 60s, and 70s, the Battle of Adowa in Ethiopia, you're looking at Kwame Nkrumah and Dr. Martin Luther King, there's been always this yearning to reconnect, this yearning for homecoming, this yearning to bring back. There's always been that throughout history, you know. And we are trying to, our hope is that to show our generation, the generations that are coming after us, that we cannot stop this. We can't, and thank you to the African ancestry for doing the DNA, that now people are able to trace their lineage to a specific ethnic group on the continent.
Wow.
Because the whole point is homecoming.
Wow.
Because, you know, I don't think it is, and I keep telling this to Danae, I don't think it's an accident that African Americans and Africans have the same skin tone. Because I remember I was talking to an African American friend of mine, and she said, it's just difficult for us because we don't know where we are from. And I looked at her and I said, that's a lie. Your skin tells you where you're from.
Right off the bat. That's it.
You may not know your ethnic group, but your skin is a testament that you know where you're from. Ever believe someone who tells you otherwise.
Wow. So, Tanae, let me ask you this question.
Yes.
You are the African-American co-producer, and I'm assuming you know more African-American people, you know, in California, you're around your hometown. So as you're promoting this documentary, are you able to get people on board? Are they receiving the information? Are they receptive? How is that going?
That is going very well. And there are people who are open to it, people who are supporting it, people who discuss it. But this is where it gets a little tricky. Off camera, they will open up. African Americans will open up. On camera, it becomes something different. It becomes yes, no. And I don't know, me, Perez, and our associate producer, I used to do, I've had extensive conversations about this. I think because it becomes so personal for African Americans, because we yearn so much to go home, that to get it on camera, I guess we're showing our hurt, we're showing our vulnerability. And not every African American wants to show that. Off camera, we can have dialogue all day long. On camera, it becomes something different. So that's become the difficulty in finding African-Americans to talk about that on camera. Or we might get the generalization, oh, I love Africa. I've always wanted to learn about Africa. But nothing too much forward from that.
Yeah.
And it gets a little frustrating, but I understand it. I understand what that is. So so people are supporting it. They're funding it. But it's like getting them to talk about it. It's been kind of hard. It's been a little hard. Yeah.
Now I got another question. This leads me to my next question. And I'm going to ask you the question, Tanae. But Perez, I want you to answer the question. All right?
Okay.
So Tanae, I mean, you know me. You know, we go back a long ways. You know, Florida A&M University and everything like that. So, you know, without a doubt, you know I'm soul brother number one. I got my black card and everything. It's certified.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? My black card is certified. You don't even need to ask for it. It's right there. You know, but
right.
I'm open to getting the African card. But I don't know if, you know, Africans are a little they're a little more difficult in terms of giving the card out, you know, the pass. You know, so how can I get that without being ridiculed? How can I get my African card?
Oh, I have I'm a little lost about what is an Afro, what does it mean? I'm like, what? There's the cultural gap right there.
Okay, let me break it down. It's kind of like an analogy in a black neighborhood, you know, in the hood. You know, automatically, if you got this particular swagger or personality, like, okay, he's black. Sometimes you can kind of tell if a black person grew up in the suburbs, like, nah, he, you know, he's not black. And, you know, that's the way you look at it. So me, I'm basically trying to say I want to embrace my African roots, but because, you know, I'm not from Africa, an African person might give me a harder time. So, you know, I want to get my certification. You know, it's just a kind of an analogy. So how do I basically embrace an African person, say, hey, I want to learn about my culture from you without being ridiculed? Hey, you were born in, African in America. I don't want to tell you. Or, you know, that's basically what I'm trying to say. Do you understand a little bit better?
Yes, I understand, but that leads me to a question for you.
Uh-oh.
Have you ever walked up to an African and say, hey, brother, tell me a little bit about where you're from and what goes on there? And he said, no. Has that ever happened to you?
You know what? That is so true. That is so true. In most cases, the African people that I do know, they have been more than willing to share. They have.
There you go.
They have.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I think what's missing is the asking.
Mm.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And the willingness to know. I got you.
Exactly. Because let me tell you something. When I came to this country, I was willing to speak. Let me tell you something that people don't realize. Africans really love Africa. Africa is really... You can't go to Africa and leave the continent and Africa does not remain with you for the rest of your life. And anybody who goes there as a tourist comes back changed. Africa is a very transforming place. So when we come out of Africa, it never leaves us.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that it's home. So when someone asks you about your home, you're willing to, there's a sense of, it humbles you and you share. Because if you feel this is somebody who is genuinely interested in you as a human being. So when I come to America and I meet and I want to share and nobody's interested, now all of a sudden you have all these people. You know, this was, I'll be honest, it was like my first time really being around that many Europeans in my life, European Americans in my life, or just white people. And there was this curiosity. And every time I walk in, okay, oh my God, so tell me. So this and this, there was just curious. And they would ask the same silly questions that anybody else would ask. Well, you guys live in trees. But there's an asking going on. There's a curiosity going on.
Uh-huh.
So guess what that means? It means there's dialogue happening with them.
I got you. So ladies and gentlemen, if you want to create dialogue about Africa, just ask. It's as simple as that. You don't even need an African card. You know, in the black community, you got to have your soul card. But in Africa, you don't need it. You don't need the card. You just got to act. This is Motown Maurice. You're listening to Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle. And we're talking about the full feature documentary that's in the works. Africans versus African Americans, Healing the Silent Sibling Rivalry. We got co-producers Perez Owino on the line and Tanae Carter. And we do have a caller on the line, so we are going to get ready to start bringing some callers in. Tell your friends, tell your mama, tell your cousins to call in and join this deep yet controversial conversation. So area code 919, please be ready because you are on the line right now.
Okay.
Hey, hey. How you doing?
Hello. Okay, my name is Grace. I'm calling in from North Carolina. And
hi,
I just
Grace.
Want to add,
hi, Grace.
Hi, how are you?
Well, how are you?
Good. Okay, I just wanted to add on what Maurice just said about the African card. And I just want to support what Perez said because most of the time I'm more interested in knowing about African-American, but they're never so much interested in knowing about Africa. And it's sort of, I feel like there's usually that divide. in there. You know, it's like I want to approach and I want to talk, but it's, you know, I feel like, so sometimes I get, you know, one or two people, like a pastor somewhere, and I put them down and I ask them, and one of them told me that when she sees me, I remind her of slavery, you know, I remind her of the pain. So I kind of want to understand, and I just feel that some of these conversations that you're having, you know, can be able to heal that so that, you know, we can, you know, walk together in that. But I'm usually just, I want to come from Kenya, so I'm talking from the African perspective. So, it's really exciting to hear this.
Yes, well, thank you, thank you. I'm sure we have an answer. It sounds like there's some wounds there that needs to be healed.
Yeah,
we got
an
answer
some
for that.
Yeah.
Correct, you want to take that?
That is the first time I've ever heard that, and it literally made my that just stopped me. I've never heard that before in my life.
Yeah.
What she said.
I've talked to a lot. I talked to a pastor, a lady. She was my neighbor, and I put her down for 1 hour, and I sort of grilled her. You know, I asked her, why? And she told me, when I see you, you remind us of the pain. You remind us of the slavery. And that, it may be unconscious, you know. People may not be walking around thinking about it every day, but in the unconsciousness, it's like, you know, we were brought from Africa. You remained, you know, not really in the sense of it, but, you know, we had the pain here. So I think there's a lot of healing,
I think that goes back to what I was mentioning about African-Americans talking about their pain on camera, the vulnerability of that. But my question would be, have you all continued the dialogue since then and continued to talk through it?
Yes, they've become my friends. They've become my friends, and, you know,
wonderful.
We talk about the food and, you know, different types of food. And I can tell you, I'm from Kenya. I don't know so much of the African-American history apart from what I've seen on TV, Martin Luther King, you know, and then that's it. You know, so I have also to learn. I have to get into the books and learn and read about the real life, the life as it was, you know.
And that goes, and you make a really great point, Dada, because I'm from Kenya too, just so you know. You make a really great point about the need to learn each other's history. That's the reason why this documentary has a portion where we do that. Because unless we know each other, what each other has gone through, like right now, Tanea and I are reading this book called Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome. And I really encourage not just African-Americans, but Africans who are really interested in having this dialogue to read this book. It's by Dr. Joy Leary. Because it explains a lot about what happened and how that transformed and how much of this is just survival mechanisms still at play.
Yes.
You know, it's just how people had to survive, what they had to do, and it's so heart-wrenching.
Well, thank you very much. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, and I'm done.
Okay, well, thank you. We got some more callers on the line.
Thank you very much for calling.
We really appreciate it.
Cool.
We got to continue the dialogue so we can heal those wounds. That is the way to do it. Once again, this is Motown for Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle. Perez Owinu and Tanae Carter is on the line, and we got another caller on the line, area code 310-398. You are on the line right now. What's your question, and who are you? Oops, hold on. You're on the wait a second.
Can you hear me?
We hear you now. How you doing?
Hey, this is Issa too.
Hey.
Am I on? I'm the associate producer with these lovely, lovely, lovely ladies, and I'm so thrilled that you guys are starting to put that conversation out there. And I've been listening to another lady, an African lady, who was on. I don't know if she was on earlier, and she was talking about that deep rift of feeling, I guess, African-Americans feeling like they have been sold, so whenever they get in contact with an African, they have that kind of feeling. So maybe it prevents them from, I don't know, communicating or trying to have any kind of relationship. Is that what I was hearing?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was listening to that just right now as I was getting on to you guys, but and that just was, I don't know, that was an amazing conversation. But that's what this film is really about. It's about healing that rift, and I hope more people call. But I'm calling because I really want to plug our website. All of you people out there who are listening, you can go to avaatheconversation.org. You will learn there a bit more about the project. You'll learn how you can contribute to the project. I know that times are rough economically right now, but you have any kind of money, large or small sum, you can go right to that avaatheconversation.org and learn how you can become a contributor. Also, on that webpage, you can read and also see some videos that we have there of other people sharing their stories, and you can comment there, and you can share your stories, because this documentary, it lives on through your sharing your stories. We really need to hear more of those stories. Again, I'm Issa Tudiao, the associate producer. Also, on that page, the fan page is on there, so we have links. You can link onto the fan page, African versus African American fan page, there, and get involved. We really need your involvement. So I'm just here plugging.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I know that's a mouthful. I'm the African plus African American side. My mom is African American, and my dad is African from Guinea. So we are a complete circle.
I see it. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you very much for plugging. Well, stay on the line for another second, and that brings me up into fundraising. How has that whole process been going? Because I know it's an independent project, and it's always a challenge to raise money. How has that been going?
It is. You know, it's a tough time economically for everybody, and I think that people want to feel like they're contributing to something that's positive, and they're contributing towards something of change. So I think that the more and more people realize that they are actually a part of this documentary, and that the conversation exists and continues to exist with their involvement, that it'll become easier for them to say, you know what, I want to support and I want to help the fundraising process, because I know that down the line this is going to help not just me and my awareness, but my children's awareness and hopefully their children's children's awareness, so that decades and centuries from now we can be in a different place with each other. So fundraising, I don't know that it's been so incredibly difficult, but I think fundraising in and of itself is kind of difficult, because you got to get people excited and understanding what it is that they are supporting. And I think that we're doing a fairly good job of that.
Yep. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And one
thank
thing
you.
That we haven't mentioned is our whole intent is to get this, because the way we are constructing this, it's going to also be, there's also an education element of this, because it would be a great piece to have in institutions of education, whether it's, I don't know how American schools work with it, I don't know how low elementary is, but from all age groups to fully understand each other, we as people of the African diaspora.
Absolutely. When we have, the months of celebrating African American heritage,
yes.
This is something that should, you know, hopefully will be viewed, classes all around, in churches.
Absolutely.
Wherever people are having this kind of conversation where healing is taking place, that this conversation should be had. And that's also why it's a .org, you know. It's something bigger than just, it's bigger than just, oh, we're doing this documentary. This is hopefully going to be a life-changing thing for not just African-American people, that it will extend itself throughout the diaspora.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Motown. Of Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle, we are discussing Africans versus African Americans, the full feature documentary that will be coming out soon. And we're going to keep the party going. There's somebody else on the line. Area code 310-412. You are on the line right now. Who are you and what are your questions? Hello. Okay, is that person there? Area code 310-412. I guess that person is not there. So we're going to hang up on that person now.
No,
it's all good. They can call
back.
So Perez, talk to me for a second. I know this is definitely a passion project. What is your vision, and what kind of, are you trying to start a spark
and what kind of spark? If you had to summarize what you would like to see ultimately come out of this project, you know, like, what is that? What would it be?
I would say this. I'm not trying to start a spark because the spark already exists. It's been there.
Mm-hmm.
It's been there. It's just kind of like, we just need to keep fanning the flames. It's been there. It was there with W.E.B. Du Bois. It was there with Marcus Garvey. It was there with Dr. Martin Luther King. It was there with Malcolm X. It's right there with Isaiah Washington and Jeffrey Wright and Adisa Kepra.
Yeah.
It's existing. It exists right now. It keeps going. Every African-American you meet on the street who's been named Kwame, it exists. It's ongoing. So what we're just trying to do is to keep the momentum. Keep them on the leg.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the right path. Let's just keep doing it. Let's just keep doing it.
So this
you
ain't
know,
like another. This is not a movement. It's just a continuing the process.
It's gathering everything into one spot and it's like gathering all these voices and putting into one hub, one place. Especially during this age where, you know, everything is going. What is it? Everything is either on the laptop or it's on the iPad or the iBook. So we're putting it into that kind of arena where everybody has access to it.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
To Perez, it's awareness. It's broadening the awareness. Because everyone is having these thoughts, having the same thought. Well, let's communicate. Because whether you believe it or not, we're thinking the same thing.
Absolutely, to be able to share it. If you can sit across somebody who sounds differently from you, as I'm sure, you know, whenever an African-American hears an African with an accent, if you could just reach across that walkway and say, hey, you know, I'm so-and-so, you can open up channels of dialogue. But I think that sometimes people need to feel like it's okay.
Yeah.
As that sounds, you know, that sounds really odd. I mean, what is it, a big deal just to open that chain? But some people need that kind of, you know, nudging.
Yeah.
And when I was talking to Perez and Tanae, I think, Tanae, you might have said it earlier yourself, and I think you put it very well, is there might be some people who feel like we need to move on from that. But this is our history, and it can be repackaged many times. There's no need to move on from it. We got to tell the stories in many different ways. The Jews, they always telling their story about the Holocaust and maintaining and preserving their history. Why not us from different perspectives, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and even on that note, even, look at the Bible. Look at the Torah. Look at all that. They have always, that's one thing that we have to, you know, I'm always an advocate of learn from people who have figured some stuff out. And in that respect, I feel like they have, the Jewish people have get tremendous respect from me as a people who have figured out how to always have their history with them and keep putting it out there. They have this, and I might be generalizing, a very clear sense of self.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they get vilified for it, but they just do. And instead of like vilifying people,
well, I think they have a clear sense
from it.
Of their Jewishness. And there's nothing wrong with having a clear sense of who you are, especially within the context of the world, and also saying this is who I am. And I think Isaiah Washington was talking about that. He was talking about the perfect Sankofa. He's like, you know, I know who I am because I know who I am.
It's incredibly important.
I mean, if anyone gets a chance to pick up his book, by the way, Isaiah Washington's a Man from Another Land, please pick it up.
Exactly.
Because that's profound information. I don't know how many of us walking around here, born here, really feel that way. I am who I am because you know who I am because I know who I am. That's pivotal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so much of this documentary speaks to that.
And to add on to what Aisha was saying, and answer something that Tanae said. There's this sentiment that people have when they meet Africans and they say Africans are arrogant. But that's not what that is. What people are seeing, because I don't think Africans interact with African Americans any differently than they interact with European Americans or Asian Americans or whatever. What people are seeing is a very clear sense of self. I know who I am. I know who I am. Like when I walk around the streets, I know who I am. You can't tell me there's nothing I cannot do because I know who I am. And so sometimes it's seen as arrogance, but it's not. It's I know who I am.
I know who I am, ladies and gentlemen. That's a part of
the Spike Lee's movie, right? I am Malcolm X, but instead of that, it's I know who I am.
That's right. Yeah. I like it. I am Malcolm X. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to keep the party going. We are discussing the documentary Africans versus African Americans, Healing the Silent Sibling Rivalry. And, man, we just had that person on the line, and they left again. What's going on? You got to be patient. You have to be. Yes, they came back, and then they left. You have to be patient. Hopefully, I will see you again. Call back again. Tell your friends. Tell your mama. Tell all of them.
I want to talk to you. Come on.
Tanae, tell me about some of the people that are on the documentary speaking and featured. Who are some of the features?
Featured are Dr. Milana Karenga. We speak to him regarding his experiences in the African Holocaust. We speak to Dr. Joseph Bailey, who's actually explored mentally what happened to Africans during the process of enslavement, which parallels post-traumatic slave syndrome with Dr. Joy Leary-Degree. We've interviewed Reverend Mary Kara, Okraf Unity Center of African Spiritual Science, Baba Femi Bayemi, Shango Dari Fagbemi, who's also known as Christopher Brown. He teaches, he's African-American, but he's teaching Egyptian history in Egypt to Egyptians, so it's very interesting. We've also interviewed Professor Menashe. He's from Zimbabwe, but he's made his work literally bridging the gaps between Africans and African Americans, and he's created an economic summit to help economically bridge the gap between Africans and African Americans and encourage trade. So we also interviewed Queen Nana, Mothers for Africa.
Nice.
She's African American, but she does a lot of work in the Congo and also in Haiti in the diaspora. Adisa Sapturi, who's also a filmmaker, but he's established a school along with Simset Sabaset in Africa, in Sierra Leone, and also bridging the gap. So we have many interviewees and more to come, as well as the everyday person on the street.
Do not forget Mr. Isaiah Washington.
Isaiah Washington, definitely, definitely. Who actually Adisa went with Isaiah Washington on his first journey to Sierra Leone. And Isaiah's experience has been very, very profound. I guess for me as an African-American, he epitomizes, in a sense, the journey that so many of us African-Americans want to take, finding out who your cultural roots are, going back there, being recognized by that culture, and being adopted and embraced. So, and many of us have made that journey on different levels, so we celebrate that as well. And also Asumpta Oturo, who has radio show KPFK. So many, many people, and still interviewing some. We're getting ready to wrap up our shoot, but we've just had this extraordinary journey of speaking to so many different people about their research and their personal experiences and them sharing them with us in conversation. And also Ayuko Babu, who's at the Pan-African Film Festival as well.
Mm.
And I also would like to add a gentleman by the name of Uchenna Nworgu, who has the African focus in the inducting. What he does is he has an organization that inducts African Americans into African families. So he's also part of this interview. And Mr. Nworgu had a very interesting statement to make with regards to the bridge between Africans and African Americans, and he said that he believes that a greater responsibility, and this is his word, lies on the African, because it is the African, it's the mother who always welcomes the children home. And so that to answer to the call or the desire of the ancestors, that when we get here, we have to reach out and bring the children home.
And basically, I'm actually one of the children that will be inducted next year, being adopted by a family from the continent. And it's a full ceremony.
What?
That African focus and culture.
Yeah.
That's a surprise.
Yeah.
Let that out of the bag a little later, but surprise. So I am one of those children. I'm very excited. So
I like that. Could I get inducted and find me an African queen as a wife?
Hey.
Is there anything like that going on?
Come on
that.
Through. You can sit at my table. You never know who might be there with you.
Wow. All right now. Okay. Just tell him I'm a prince in L.A. Just tell him
yes.
I'm a prince. Oh, wow. That is awesome. Listen, Asatu. Am I saying you right?
Your name?
Isatu, excuse me, I'm just messing your name up
right.
Live on the air. Isatu, you know what I want you to do for me right now?
What do you want me to do?
I want you to plug the website right now. Let them know what's going on.
Go to avaatheconversation.org and get on those links, everybody. There's the fan page that you can link onto. There's my blog that you can link onto, Afro Sista Diaspora. I wrote up a little about the interview with Isaiah Washington. But go to AVAA The Conversation. See how you can get involved. Be a part of the conversation. Don't just browse, but comment and share your stories with us. It helps.
And there's one more person I want to mention. It's Dr. Luchembe, who's also part of the conversation as well. And actually, he's been dialoguing with us on Facebook and really getting the word out there for us. I definitely want to mention
exactly.
him as well. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So when you go to the Facebook page, when you go to our website, AVAA, that is Africans V versus African Americans, AVAAtheconversation.org, it will link you to the fan page. It will link you to the donation page, which is on Indiegogo. It's going to link you. I think we're about 20 days before the fundraiser closes on Indiegogo, which doesn't mean we're not going to accept funds. If you wanted, like, send a check or do something via PayPal, we're definitely open to that. The 20
uh-huh.
days is just for Indiegogo. We have to wrap it up because they just give you, like, a deadline of, like, 120, 60, or 30 days.
And the Indiegogo is the very first thing you see when you get onto the website. You will see that video, click onto it, and you'll see the fundraising trailer with Perez and Tane. It's the very first thing you'll see when you get on that website.
Yes.
All right. We have the producers of Africans versus African Americans, the documentary Healing the Silent Sibling Rivalry, on the line. And we are going to attempt once again to bring this 310-412 caller who is back. So
please
be there and do not disappear. Maybe this call is like Casper the Friendly Ghost or something. Let's find out.
It's my dad. He is no ghost. He's my dad, and he's 71 years old, and he's just not getting just to stay on the phone.
Oh, I am so sorry. So hello, Dad. Are you on the line?
I'm on the line.
Hey.
Hi.
This is my father, Sidi Diallo. He is in the fundraising trailer, and he was sharing a story on it about his first experience coming from Africa back. You tell the story, Dad. When did you get here?
I got here in 1969.
And what was your experience? You were in Harlem. You got dropped off in New York, and what was your experience? Share it.
Well, that was a place that I really loved to go to because of the ambience. Unfortunately, I do recall we were in a bar and we were talking, and I was posed a question, and the question was that I understand that you people in Africa eat each other. Okay, I said, well, maybe that's a thousand story, but in reality that does not exist. But I can tell you one thing: if, for example, we were eating each other, we wouldn't be able to be here in this country today. So that is my experience.
No.
But go ahead.
No. Finish your story, Dad. I was just laughing.
Yeah. So that was those days. And I believe that probably maybe today, things has changed on how both groups, either African or African-American, have been educated. And since in that case that's happening, I think it's a good thing that you guys are sitting today and asking the question, you know, what is really the problem between these two individuals?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Dad.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So in this documentary, are you making any ways of pointing out the wrongs and the misconceptions and the false information that exists out there? Is there any attempt to do that?
Yes,
absolutely.
There's an attempt to do that.
Let me explain to you something. Since I come in this country in 1959 up to today, I have always been involved in a situation where to make ourselves understood and plus open up to the African-American group, which usually very friendly in some other instances, very evasive. But we've been working on that case for the longest, in fact.
Wow. Mm. Nice. Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, Perez, how about you?
Yes. No, I was going to say that we definitely are finding ways to resolve some of these issues, because by asking the questions, the issues resolve themselves, because you have people who have opinions. There's a gentleman who has an opinion about African Americans, and I asked him, how long have you been in this country? He said something like 20 plus years, and I asked him, well, do you know any African American families intimately? Do you know anyone? Do you have any friends? And he said no. And he stopped himself and he said, you know, until you asked, I never realized that. 25 years. So that when in asking the questions, as people come to their own conclusions, they way it's like you ask the right question, somebody comes to the realization that I may need to take a second look at this. And that's how it's happening. Conversations will start up, change.
And I want to add to what Perez is saying. There are many African-Americans who have researched their history on the grander scale, you know, about ancient Kemet and ancient Africa, about the different empires that existed. But now, again, taking a second look, let's get even more specific, because what I notice in certain communities that do research African history, it's really just those people in that community.
Mm-hmm.
And then every now and then, maybe somebody directly from the continent who may have the same mindset. But and they may even eat food from the continent, but not really have a large population of people directly most recently born from maybe Nigeria or Senegal. And so what is that? They may know a lot about African history, but maybe not. And maybe even go to Africa, but, you know, what is that divide there? So I'm asking people who do study the history and what we call the conscious community to even take it even further. Many people have, but there's still a lot who have not.
Mm.
So even to take the second look there and really check themselves and say, okay. And even look at what Africa is today, because I think sometimes in certain communities we may have an idealism of what it is, because we're living in yesteryear. And yes, that did exist, but where is it today? And then how can we, you know? So, I have to,
so
you know.
Film festivals. Do y'all plan to put this in any upcoming film festivals? I know you definitely want to put it a part of the school system and spread it as much as possible, but is this something that you plan to put in any film festival?
Yes, we've been invited to premiere this at the Pan-African Film Festival in February.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely one target.
Well,
but definitely film festival route. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely our first route, is to put it out there.
Yeah.
In the film festival circuit.
Donate, because that's coming up soon. And the only way we're going to really be able to do that is if you guys really help us out and go to Indiegogo.
Finish this. Yeah.
Yes. We're coming
out. It's the editing process.
Yes.
And then that's what we're asking for help for.
Wow. So is
there
going to be like an African versus African-American app that I can get on the Apple store or the Android store or anything like that?
That's interesting.
Hey, I was going to say, there's an idea.
Hey. Yeah, there's an idea. Put it out there. Hey.
Hey. Get that app. That's what people are into
these days.
Get that app.
Absolutely.
Yes. It's an app.
Yes. Look, we're coming down to the final thoughts of this segment, and I want you to definitely use this to promote your documentary as much as possible and just say what's on your mind. This whole documentary has been brought about by personal experiences. So, you know, keep your thoughts to maybe a minute. I'll start off with you, Isatu. Just say what's on your mind, share a quick personal experience, and, of course, like you always do, plug the site.
Well, I'm going to plug the site. Also, avaatheconversation.org. One of the things you're going to see when you get on there is my story. I write under the name Kinky Urban Lotus Root, and it basically is my journey having lived in Senegal for a year as a child and coming back and interacting with African American children and how that affected me. That was a profound experience. I didn't feel like children embraced Africa the way I did, and so that was the beginning of the conversation for me anyway, was having that observation. So please go on the site, support us, help us get this get through the editing process, avaatheconversation.org, and click on to Indiegogo. Thank you.
Thank you, Issa, too. I really appreciate you calling in.
I appreciate
Thank
it,
you.
Too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Tanae, your turn, my stories teller sister. It's always good to see you. It was so good to see you the other day, and I knew that you would be the first person to follow up on an interview on Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle, because you are hustling and shuffling. I knew it. You're the first person that's followed up, and I've interviewed a whole bunch of people, but you're the first, so I'm really, really honored that you came back. That means I did a good thing. So anyway.
And I appreciate you always, Motown, always.
Oh, thank you, thank you. So anyway, like I said, this is a personal experience for you. Plug the site again if you like and just share something and share some words of wisdom of your own for whoever's listening.
As Motown has said, this is a personal journey for me. As African-American, I have learned so much about Africa today, and even verified some truthfulness to my own misconceptions. I've had Kenyan food. I've met even a broader aspect of the African community and been very embraced, even though I've always had Nigerian friends and friends from Ghana. I encourage every African-American, because even though if you're already reading your history like I was and already exploring, go even further. Go even deeper. If you have not been to the continent, go. If you're waiting to see exactly what cultural group you're from, take the risk. Take the DNA test from African Ancestors Incorporated and go for it. And you'll be amazed at what you find, and it's a healing. It's a closure that I encourage every African-American person to experience. And going back to knowledge of self, it is definitely a verification of knowledge of self, not excluding the history we do have here in this country, but this only extends it and expands it.
Mm.
Thank you.
Very well said. Very well said. Thank you very much, Tanae. Now, Perez.
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yes. So let me just wrap it all up, because my two sisters there have just they've literally just said everything that I could possibly say. But one thing that I do want to say is that our history is our responsibility. So long we've had other people tell our stories. We read about our books written by other people, and Isaiah Washington put it really well. There's an African proverb that says, until the lion knows how to write, the story of the hunt will always be written by the hunter.
Mm.
But the lion now knows how to write.
Wow.
And we have to start telling our story. And this is part of our story. This bridge, the continent of Africa, is African. It belongs to us. It is our birthright. Only we can claim it, or we can give it away. It's just that simple. The richest continent on the planet. Look at Africa right now and ask yourself, why is Africa the way it is? There's a healing that needs to happen for all her children. There's a homecoming that needs to be done. Walk with us and let's make this a reality, because I would love nothing more than if every African American knew exactly where they came from, the exact ethnic group. I will die happy if I do nothing else for the rest of my life but that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's passion. That's truth. That's passion. That's vision. And ladies, I see it happening. I am so thankful to have had you on the show, to be just a part of this journey, to be a part of this journey with you. And I'm looking forward to just knowing more about it. I want to know the impact and the reactions that people are having, because this is a story that we all need to claim of our own. And we need to continue to retell it over and over and over. And thank you for taking the initiative on making that happen. This is awesome. You want to plug the website one more time, Perez, to make sure everybody know where to go?
Sure. So the website is A V AVAA, and that's African versus African American, just the initials, AVAA, theconversation.org. Everything you need to know about the project, the funding, everybody's specific website and blog pages are all going to be on that specific page. So walk with us. We'd love to have you be part of this journey. It is your story. It is my story. It's our story. So let's help us tell it.
Yes.
Thank you. And thank you so much, Maurice, for having us, for giving us this opportunity.
Motown,
thank you.
Maurice.
So
thank you. Thank you, Motown.
Motown,
Motown.
Motown Maurice. Thank
so
you.
I do have a question to ask you. I do have a question to ask you, you know, before
yes.
you go. I know I've asked you a lot of questions already, but can you handle one more?
We can handle one more.
Okay, all right, all right. Well, cool, cool, cool. This is what I need to know. What I'm going to ask you, hopefully you can answer. I know you can. It's a really deep question. If you're talking about controversial, you know, with African, this one is controversial. My question for you is, who is the future of late night television?
Motown
Maurice.
ladies, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Continue on your journey.
You, continue where you're going. I love your passion. I love your fire. I want to go to the motherland right now. If you're a travel agent, hook me up, because I need to take a trip to Kenya and find me an African queen. If you know any single African Kenyan queens, you know, holla at a brother, too. Because, you know, I'm all down. I'm down. I love me some African women. So, ladies, until next time, we will talk later. Thank you again for being on the show, all right?
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. What a battle. What a fight. What a conversation, you know? What a conversation so we can win the versus that is taking place right now. This is Motown Maurice. I'm about to sign off. Please check me out tomorrow for another show. Check out my blog. Check out my website, MotownMaurice.com. Follow the quest of a late night talk show host. Yeah, that's right. I'm the future of late night. Until next time.